Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. We live in the most uncertain times in human history. We do not know where the next shoe will drop as the world is disrobed and its ugly, crude nakedness begins to be revealed. School shootings, parents killing their children, children killing their parents, drive-by shootings, gang violence, dope pushers, dope addicts, rape, child abuse, spousal abuse, sexual abuse, pornography, children having babies. How ugly can it get? How ugly will it get before we rise up and realize that we're being sold down the river in the name of unbridled wanton lust and groupthink? Toyota's new advertisement epitomizes the zenith of throwaway consumerism. Various versions of the ad show people destroying their old Toyotas so they can buy a new one. Just push your old Toyota off a cliff so you can buy a new one. Did anyone stop and seriously think about the message that is conveyed by this kind of advertising? One of the greatest hallmarks of character and one of the greatest hallmarks of national integrity and character is how well you take care of or a people take care of and maintain whatever it is that God has blessed them with. Never mind teaching the youth to change the oil and maintain their car. Push it off a cliff and get a new one. This kind of throwaway consumer mentality permeates every facet of our society. If you don't like your mate, throw him or her away. If you don't want to take care of your children, hire a nanny or just abandon them. Wear the clothes one time, throw them away. Life is becoming so meaningless for our people that they search for meaning by entertaining themselves to death. People work to be able to consume instead of working to build a better world and a better future for their children. The goal is to have enough cash to live it up on the weekend. Mass media and the advertising world have now mastered the art of mind control. Everyone is in search of remaining in a state of perpetual adolescence. The advertising world knows that by appealing to the basest human drives, they can condition people to desire to be in the in crowd. The principal appeal is sexual. It seems that the merchants know no boundaries when it comes to trying to entice and seduce young and old to buy their products. The Apostle Peter prophesies of this time in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, "But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having the eyes of an adulteress, and that cannot cease from sin." You just look at the pictures on the cover of any magazine today, and you will see the wanton, lustful eyes of men and women portrayed in their sexual postures as they try to deceive and seduce the gullible people in the public into buying whatever product it is that they're selling. He goes on to write, "beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised," and this word can mean trained, "conditioned with covetous practices, having children of curse." And so we see our children today caught up in this mass swirling of consumerism, in which 10-year-old children now are running around with cell phones calling their boyfriends and girlfriends. On the one hand, we're given to sensual pleasure, then on the other hand, we're trying to gain youth and beauty, but burning the candle at both ends is an enemy of youth and beauty. So cosmetics and cosmetic surgery is now a booming business. Some high school girls are being given breast enlargement surgery as a graduation present. The more we talk about health, the sicker we become, and our focus continues to be on entertaining ourselves to death. And the more we talk about individualism and freedom, the more we conform to the norms of the advertising world. Satan and his provocateurs are clearly using mind control techniques to deceive people into accepting groupthink in every area of human thought and activity. The groupthink techniques range from the universal to the individual. In the universal sense, the world is being brainwashed into believing that the universe is a living organism and that we are part of the whole great system. It is the age-old pagan philosophy of pantheism. God is all and all is God. Thus, we must all join hands to save the planet and ourselves. Now, you might agree to some degree with the joining of hands to stop activities that are destroying the environment, but this New Age groupthink goes much deeper than that. It is, in effect, a spiritual movement, a so-called reawakening of our consciousness. It is not limited to the environment. It includes all facets of human activity. Oprah Winfrey will be letting out all stops on her XM satellite radio program beginning this year, January the 1st. Oprah and Friends, that's the name of the program on XM radio, will offer a year-long course on the New Age teachings of a course called A Course in Miracles. A lesson a day throughout the year will completely cover the 365 lessons from the Course in Miracles workbook. For example, some of the things that are taught, lesson 29, ask you to go through your day affirming that God is in everything I see. Once again, pantheism, all is God and God is all, and you're a part of that greater whole of God and the living organism, the universe. Whereas we know that God created the universe itself, as far as the physical material matter, is basically dead. It does have living organisms within it, and we are alive because God created us in His very own image. Lesson 61 tells each person to repeat the affirmation, I am the light of the world, whereas the Bible clearly says in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Lesson number 70 teaches the student to say and believe, my salvation comes from me. By the end of the year, Oprah and Friends listeners will have completed all of the lessons laid out in the Course in Miracles workbook. Those who finish the course will have a wholly redefined spiritual mindset, a New Age worldview that includes the belief that there is no sin, no evil, no devil, and that God is in everyone and everything. A Course in Miracles teaches its students to rethink everything they believe about God and life. The course workbook bluntly states, this is a course in mind training and is dedicated to thought reversal. Virtually every presidential candidate will talk about building relations with the world community and enhancing global security and prosperity. We're in the age now in which everyone from intellectuals down to individuals are talking about the global community and groupthink. Remember the people rallied together at the Tower of Babel in rebellion against God's command to go to their various inheritances throughout the earth. The goal of political leaders is to speak loudly today to try to intimidate, but really they carry a little stick, and much talk. They hope to herd the world together through peer pressure, consensus building, and economic intimidation. When they talk about imposing sanctions on a nation, what do they talk about? They talk about cutting off trade, natural resources, and financial resources. The ultimate goal is international integration, as they call it. The non-integrating nations are the ones that are targeted for military action. That's why President Bush identified Iraq, Iran, and North Korea as rogue nations in his famous State of the Union address. The principal wild card in all of this is the non-integrating Islamic fundamentalists. The so-called moderate states, Arab states, are rapidly disappearing and falling into the camp of the Russians, with China trying to get a part of the action. But even Russia and China cannot go it alone in the global economy. They would starve to death, and the peasants would rise in rebellion as the food sources dry up. So the world is held together today by economic necessity. The goal of the so-called change agents of our day is to transform the thinking of the peoples of the world so they will share common values in every sphere of human activity. In the outcome-based education agenda, teachers are called change agents, and the goal is to change the attitude of children toward the great social issues of the day, ranging from world politics to sexual behavior. Mind control techniques are being used to try to gain a universal consensus on everything from world peace to sex education. In today's outcome-based education curricula, the emphasis is on your attitude about people's behavior, places, and things, not on whether or not you can read the newspaper or balance your checkbook. One of the terms that is used over and over is holistic. What does that mean? The teaching is the whole of something is greater than the sum of its parts. And of course, we would agree with some of this, but what does it mean in the greater sense? Most people would nod their heads and say, yeah, we can accomplish more working together than we can in divided groups. And then we're told a unity of various entities creates a synergy greater than its separate parts. And we might say, yeah, there is a synergy created when people work together. But their use of the word synergy, when taken to the their desired outcome, means combining the psychic energy of two systems into a potent new fusion of forces to facilitate the evolution of mankind. Nearly all of this so-called postmodern education is based on evolution. It's as if the evolution of humankind is bogged down, and now we have discovered the secret of the ages so we can merge into the greater wholeness of the cosmos. Here we come to the goal of the holistic approach, that is, cooperative unity from different spheres of human activity that leads to creating, quote, a cosmic consciousness. We start nodding our heads on working together to get things done, which can work at certain levels, but then we learn that the ultimate goal is to create a corporate unity that leads to a cosmic consciousness. What is a cosmic consciousness? Cosmic consciousness goes hand in glove with a type of manipulated consensus. Consensus building through open discussion, seeking mutual understanding on any given topic, especially by giving up one's own preferences in the name of unity. Forcing agreement by using psychosocial group manipulation techniques to reach the desired outcome. This requires that one give up his or her convictions. When we compromise our convictions, what we really believe deep down in our heart is right, when we compromise that, we become empty shells that sell our souls to groupthink. A man's heart is his home, and there he must abide. We see a people who have been dumbed down and numbed down to the point that they placidly accept the groupthink. In plain language, it means that we all accept and tolerate a certain point of view. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the techniques that are being used in today's world in groupthink. If you want to be set free from fear, superstition, ignorance, and the dogmas of men, then you need to come to understand what Jesus really meant when he said that if you continue in the things that I am teaching, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We see a world today in which people are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are, quote, lost in their own intelligence, not able to really discern between that which is good and that which is evil. We know that we're living in perilous times. We know that we need help and direction. We have a booklet titled, Are We Living in the Last Days?, that will help you to understand the current situation that we're facing. We also will send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that will help you gain insight into the many social issues of the day and help ground you spiritually so that you will be able to cope with the various things that are being thrown our way in today's world. So to receive the free literature, Are We Living in the Last Days?, and a subscription to the Good News Magazine, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614, and we'll send you the article, Are We Living in the Last Days?, and a subscription to the Good News Magazine. And now back to World News and Prophecy. We have seen in the first segment of our program that the peoples of the world are being conditioned to think in the group sense. It's almost like brainwashing, mass control of thought. Alternative lifestyles are to be accepted as the norm, and that's what the cosmic consciousness will dictate. This cosmic consciousness really means that we all come to accept every kind of behavior under the sun and view it as normal. To think outside the box is to cause division. We could go down the list with any of the great social issues of the day, ranging from the environment to abortion and homosexuality, and we'll see that the goal is to create a, quote, cosmic consciousness that is equal to religious zeal, but at the same time it advocates toleration of all of these things. The cry goes out to save the planet and to save ourselves. One can immediately see how this kind of group think undermines traditional morals and values. Yes, we want to save the planet, we want to save ourselves, but unlike the Course in Miracles, which says that we are our own salvation, the Bible teaches quite a different way, and we know that our ultimate salvation can only come from God through Jesus Christ. And one can immediately see how we have come to the point that the Bible may soon be categorized as hate literature. The Bible specifically labels certain behaviors as sin. If things continue as they're going, ministers could be put in jail for reading and expounding on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Let's read those verses. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The psalmist defines righteousness in Psalm 119, verse 172, as all your commandments are righteousness. The love of God is defined in 1 John 5, 3, as for this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So righteousness has to do with doing the right thing, and who knows what the right thing is. The right thing has to do with revealed knowledge, and God has revealed what the right thing is in his word. Paul goes on to write here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The only way that any of us can be cleaned up from our filth and our nakedness is through repentance, to be sanctified and be washed by the Word and Spirit of God. Action is already being taken against school children and other people, even in business places, in various parts of our beloved nation, for references to God and Jesus. Consider these three examples of what is happening to people who resist groupthink and try to remain true to their convictions. This was reported by Barrett Cahos in his article titled, Reinventing the World. These are three real-life experiences that were related to him. In the school, a California teacher told 7-year-old Sally to stop talking with her friends about Jesus in order to keep church and state apart. Her censure makes sense when we remember that the outcomes of UNESCO's worldwide outcome-based education system include politically correct attitudes. Sally's loyalty to the biblical God didn't fit the new standards. Today's systemic transformation includes rewards for schools and teachers whose students demonstrate on the new student achievements that they have conformed to the beliefs and the values of a global citizen, whatever that is. In the workplace, a Christian manager in an Illinois company lost his position because he refused to renounce the biblical absolutes that form the basis for his convictions. God's unchanging truth didn't fit total quality management, which demands continual change. Contrary facts disturb the conscious or the consensus process, and God's values could offend team members who live by another standard. In the church, a Colorado mother told her pastor about her concern over multicultural curricula and sex education programs that introduced her son to contrary values. But the pastor equated any criticism of public schools with politics and showed no sympathy. He explained that the church's new mission, quote, new mission statement didn't include political issues which might offend people, especially unbelievers, the unbelievers who are the potential members now viewed as consumers in the new church management system. Some of the mega churches have been built by preaching the feel-good prosperity gospel. Such books as Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life or Purpose-Driven Church are causing church leaders to rethink the art of evangelism. It seems that the age-old message of Jesus and the apostles is out of style. They preach repentance, turning from sin, and living by the Word of God. What is the definition of sin? Most people cannot turn to a verse that clearly says this is what sin is. But 1 John 3:4 clearly says sin is the transgression of the law. Also in James chapter 5 it says that whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. And the simplest definition of faith is to believe God and do what He says. How can you claim to be a Christian and live by faith if you refuse to believe God and do what He says? Today, the church is being advertised as a place to be accepted just as you are. The saying used to be, hate the sin and love the sinner. Today it is, love the sin and the sinner alike. Where is the call to repentance in the preaching of the day? Today, sinners are led to believe that their sins can be forgiven without repenting, and so it seems. But note what the Bible says. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have eternal life, and you're not going to live forever apart from the Holy Spirit and The Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, is conditioned upon repentance. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Later, in chapter 3 of Acts, Peter was speaking to them, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." See, you have to repent and be converted for your sins to be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's Acts 3:19. Note that in order for sins to be forgiven and to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to repent. The heart of the gospel is to repent and exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ for the remission of sins. Christ did not die so we could remain in our sins. He died to save us out of our sins. Ministers are quick to quote Galatians 2:16 out of context. Well, let's read it in its context. And let's see if Christ is a minister of sin. Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, for the works of the law, or through the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified." No amount of law-keeping will pay for sins that are past. You must exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ for the remission of sins that are past. But as we have read from Acts 3:19, "Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." So, this forgiveness and this justification, justified means to be set free of the penalty that's upon you, that in order for that to happen, you have to repent. Paul goes on to write, most of the preachers don't continue with Galatians 3:17 and 18, "But if while you seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners." What is sin? Sin is a transgression of law. "Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." See, you have to repent in order to be forgiven and justified. "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So we can see very clearly here that to receive the Spirit of God, to be forgiven, to be reconciled to God, is predicated upon repentance. The Apostle Paul prophesied that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Word of God is the truth. If you really want to understand the truth, then you have to open the pages of your Bible and begin to read for yourself what it really says, and don't accept the word of any man. The behavioral change agents have basically conquered our people into a kind of collective groupthink that feeds on lust, covetousness, and consumerism. And we're beginning to pay a dear price for our sins. We're beginning to reap the harvest of the seeds of our lust. Note what the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 3, verse 16. "Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet." In other words, this is exactly what you see on the covers in the magazines today, in the deceitful, seductive poses that you see there by men and women. "Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Eternal will discover their secret parts." So we begin to see that the peoples of the Western world especially are beginning to pay a heavy price for their wanton lust and consumerism in this throwaway society. He goes on to talk about here, you know, want to know how up to date the Bible is. It talks about them saying in Isaiah 3:22, the prophet says, "The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins." And it's going to come to pass that God is going to bring all of these things into judgment. You need to open the pages of your Bible now and know that you know what the truth is. The only way that the planet and the people of the world will be saved is through the grace and mercy of God as they turn to Him in heartfelt repentance. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature, Are We Living in the Last Days, of subscription to the Good News Magazine, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be listening to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy.